All right.
Does anyone have like an iPhone that can record? A few people asked me if it could be recorded, and my phone I know is.
I have it.
Full agenda. Oh, okay.
All right. So we'll say so. First of all, a big yashkoch to Meir for organizing this. It's it's a schus to be here with all of you, Meir Tzachem, and I think we're gonna have a very exciting opportunity to learn a very special sefer. So, you know, in our morning shiur, we have a daf yomi in the morning, so I can speak to. The Shia, we learn a sefer called Das Atzmecha, literally know yourself, which is by the same Mechaber. The Mechaber of the sefer is, now he's much more well known. His name is Rav Itamar Schwartz. He's a young Talmid Chacham from Bnei Brak. I think he's actually been in Baltimore. I think he's been by Rabbi Weiss Shul a couple of times, someone mentioned to me. See, he's just, besides being an exceptional Talmid Chacham, he has exceptional insights and just incredible clarity, and he's able to make things contemporarily relevant. So, this Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna was the first in his series. And the truth is, it's all just about leading and building a successful and meaningful life, but by starting by building a meaningful and successful identity. So I told Mir, I think this is a good place to start. We'll see if the Chevra likes it. I think everyone will, because it's a very special Sefer. But with one caveat, which is, you know, the goal of this, and I think, you know, Meir's idea for this, which I agree with, is to keep this a more small and intimate chabura, to allow for give and take. So I don't want to talk the whole time. So at any point in time, if you have aras, you have questions, I'm not clear about something, or you want to be mosif something, please jump right in. Okay? So with that, let's begin. Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Reishis avodas ha'odam levar le'atzmo ma'tachlis shel chayov. So the first thing we begin with, the beginning of all avodah of man. Also, I'll just tell you something interesting, that often, you know, it's fascinating. What does everybody do during Chodesh Elul?
Tshuva.
That's always a safe one. Always a safe one, true. Tshuva. But I'm saying, so if you ask people, like, what's your avodah for Elul? So what do most people say? Generally, not specific, but generally, what do most people do during Chodesh Elul?
Introspection.
Oh, so that's an excellent answer. And although that is the correct answer, I would venture to say that's not what most people do. What most people do is they take on additional things. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to give more tzedakah. I'm going to be better in my shalom bayis. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to be a bigger bal chesed. We take things on. Now, that's very good. But at the end of the day, but yet, you know what's interesting? And I can't speak for anyone else. I only speak for myself. One of the most frustrating things is we're coming up on Elul. Right? You know, in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, in Hasidic literature, it's clear that Chodesh Av, right when Tisha B'Av is over, Elul starts. There's no like Ben Azmanim, really, at least in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. So Tisha B'Av ends, it's already Elul. And the truth is, again, you know, what's fascinating is that Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcher brings down, he says that, he quotes the Zohar, that says that the Shari Rachamim for Tshuva, you know, the Gemara says that they close Hoshana Rabbah. So the Zohar writes, it's not true. They really go ahead and they don't close until Chanukah. But there's, and people know that Zohar, but there's another Zohar that says that the Sha'arei Din open up for the next year right after Chanukah. So what you get on one end, you have to take away from the other end. So, but the idea is what most of us, when we come around to Elul, I know myself, sometimes we're very frustrated because some of the very same things that we wanted to focus on the previous year, we're still grappling with. And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes the things we're grappling now are the same things we grappled with 5 years ago, and 10 years ago, and 15 years ago. And although we've made so many strides in other areas of our lives, there are some core issues that we just continuously grapple with. So why is that? So because very often, it's that we don't engage in a cathartic process of introspection. That we add on things, we're most of things, we might learn more than we ever did before, we might give more tzedakah, we might be more greater Bali Chesed, but we're not necessarily more introspective people. We don't necessarily think about what we're doing, where we're going, where our lives are headed, and what we're supposed to be focusing on. So the Mechaber over here brings up, he says, Reishis avodas ha'adam levara liatzmo ma hatachlis shel chayov. What is the tachlis of my life? What is the purpose? And also, if you think about this, it's a scary question. Right, if somebody were to stop you, and I'm not asking anyone this question, because I myself have to struggle with this question. But like, what is the purpose of life? You know, it's Maisim B'chol Yom, you know, that we just had in Daf Yomi a little while ago, that the Gemara said that, told Soiv Choni HaMa'agel, Right? And remember again, what did the Gemara say? That Choni Yama Agil saw the pasuk, Shira Malos Beshuva Hashem Shiva Sion, Hayinu Kicholmin. Right? So Shira Malos, when Kodesh Baruch Hu brings us back to Sion, will be like a dream. So remember again, the Gemara explained that that pasuk is referring to the time between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. And so it says that 70 years will be like a dream. So the Maharsha brings down, he says, 70 years is a lifetime. So Choni Yama Agil wondered to himself, how could it be that a lifetime goes by in like a dream? And the answer is, because it does. And I'll tell you, it's Maisim Mechoyom that people live through an entire life, and they're on their deathbed, and they pasha don't know what they did with their lives. They don't know. I'm not talking about people who wasted time. Even people who are successful people, people who accomplish things on behalf of the club, but you know, it's so easy to lose track of time, and I have this project, I do this, I do that, but what is the tachlis of my life? What am I working towards? What am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? You know, this, and this is not just here. You find this almost in almost a svarim. Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, that Ramchal brings down in the opening of Mesilas Yesharim, he says a person has to ask themselves one simple question, which is, Ma chavaso ba'olamo? And I'll tell you, and we will get to the sefer. We're not going to do everything outside. We'll do it. but just way of introduction, it's important. You know, you have to be medayik in Ramchal's words, because you know it's interesting. So what do we ask little kids? Right? What's the first thing you ask a little kid when you see them? What are the things that we were asked as little kids? What do adults often ask little children? What do you want to be when you grow up? Right? So Ramchal says something very interesting. He says, a Jew doesn't ask himself that question, because in life, it's not about what I want to do when I grow up. It's what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need me to do? So there are some lucky people in life that what they want to do and what the Ribono Shel Olam needs them to do happens to be the same thing. But the truth is, very often, what I want to do when I grow up and what the Ribono Shel Olam needs me to do when I grow up are very, very different. Very different. And it takes an incredible amount of hachna, of humility, to like bend your knee before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say, okay, I want to do X, Y, and Z, but that's not what you need me to do. That's not what you need me to do. You need me to do something else. How you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you to do? Truth is that we're going to discuss in this Sefer. But we have to a certain degree, reprogram our thinking. And instead of living day to day, week to week, project to project, we have to be a little bit more global in the way we live. Ma hatachlis shal chayov. Okay. Naktim hakdama ketzar ledvarim. So let's give a little bit of an introduction. And once again, please, at any time, comments or questions, don't... I'm not going to pause at any time and ask you for questions. I'll just keep going, but you chime in.
We need something.
Please. Why did the Rav say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you to do it, not once? Hashem needs us to do things, or
no? So you're saying this. So you know, the Vav Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down, actually the Gemara brings down, that a person should never say, actually a very humbling Gemara, a person should never say that this project could only get done by me. Why? Because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could even be mazmin a yitush. Yitush is a gnat. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mazmin, he wanted to summon a gnat to do my job, it's very humbling. He could do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could absolutely do this. So those things, good. It's not, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't need it. You know, the whole yisod in life is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen is going to happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the privilege to partner with Him to bring about certain results. That's the schus we have. And yet we have the schus to partner with the Ribono Shel Olam. But should I choose not to partner? Meaning, should I choose to do whatever I want in life and not focus on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs, what needs me to do? What's supposed to happen will happen. But I lose out on the privilege of partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make sense?
Yeah, but love the Afghan needs.
Needs. We could take the word out, need. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. The Ribono Shel Olam offers me the opportunity to partner with Him to bring about certain results. If I rise to the occasion, great. If I don't, it's chaval on me, I've lost out. But the plan will still come to fruition. So he says, so let's give a little bit of an introduction. Kol Yehudi Yodea Dover Poshet. Every Jew knows a simple idea. Sheyesh Borei the Olam Shebara Saolam, Ubara Oso, Umechaye Eskala Olam Kulo, Ubichlalam Ovso. Suppose I have this everything, just basic building block of religious ideology. Everyone knows that there's a creator, created the world, created me, sustains the world, and I'm sustained along with the world. Habori Olam Omer Lekol Adam. Mahu mevaki shimena. I will say, listen to this. Such a profound statement. You know, people often go through life and they say, if I only knew what God wanted of me, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me? So the Mechaber says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells every single person what he wants of them. Ela, sheshorash habaya ne'utza b'kach, she'odam lo barur lo mahakadosh baruch hu rotza menu. So the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. The Ribono Shel Olam communicates to us, with us. The problem is what? We have difficulty understanding the message. We're not sure exactly what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us to do in life. As I say, a good mashal on this also. So Rav Yitzchak Berdichev comments on this. He says that, he quotes the Zohar again, that says that if you listen very carefully, you can still hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, at Har Sinai. So what does that mean? So instead, we know scientifically that sound breaks down into smaller parts. So the Rebbe is saying that if you strain your ear, you could actually still hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But what's the chap? The chap is you have to be on the right frequency. So like Lahavdol, the Ribono Shel Olam broadcasts on, you know, AM, and I'm on FM. Kodesh Baruch Hu could broadcast the clearest message, but I'm never going to get it. So that's the Mechaber saying over here also. The message is there. It's not the fact God is not ambiguous. God is quite clear, unequivocal with what he wants from us. The difficulty is that often we have difficulty discerning the message. So we'll say this is amazing. So you'll say to yourself, well, why are we struggling with this question about what does God want from me? There's a simple answer, right? What does God want from me? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu want from each of us? Simplest answer.
That relationship with him.
Relationship with him, even simpler. Torah mitzvos, Taryag mitzvos, right? And again, often that's, I'll tell you what's amazing also about this Sefer is that he says a lot of things that sometimes people are a little bit nervous to say because they think it sounds like apikorsos. So what's amazing is if you ask, what's the tachlis of a Jew? Tachlis of a Jew is tariq mitzvos. Okay, I understand those are things I'm supposed to do, but we also know that mitzvos are not an end. Mitzvos are a means. Aval be'emes, ha'olam, listen to this, is amazing. Ha'olam nikra olam milashon he'elam. It's amazing. You know, in Lashon HaKodesh, so every single word, somebody just told me this tonight. I'm teaching a group of boys from Neri Yisrael and Johns Hopkins. It's through Johns Hopkins, but it's just a group of boys from Neri Yisrael. So about adult education. So they're giving model shurim. One of the boys said over time, such a beautiful idea. So Lashon HaKodesh we know is much more unique, let's say in English. For example, dog. So what does dog mean? So it means, I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of etymological derivation from, but it means dog. What's the Hebrew word for dog?
Kelev.
Where does the word kelev come from? So kelev is a contraction of two words. Kol lev. Why is it that in Lashon HaKodesh a kelev is called kol lev? Because a dog is unique in the animal kingdom because of his allegiance and fidelity to his master. He's all heart. Kol lev. That becomes kelev. So the Mechaber says over here, olam. Olam means the world. You're going to get a lot of interesting facts just in the course of this year. It's free with the price of admission. It's just so he says, Lashon of Olam. What does Olam mean? He says, Olam is from the same shoresh as He'elam. He'elam means what? Something that is hidden or disappeared. V'kan, listen to this. V'kan ba'olam ha'bilbul gadol ma'od. So why is the world called He'elam? He'elam can mean hidden. He'elam can mean disappeared. He'elam also means confusion. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu name this world from the name Olam Bilbul He'elam? Why? Kikach Ritzoni Yisbaruch Shemo Shekol Zman She'adam Lo Mishtokek Va'amel Ma'od Levarer B'diyuk Ma Hashem Elokech Hashol Mi'imach Lo Yidazos V'chayov Yihiyu B'mahalich Shel Irbuv V'He'elam. We'll say, you know why the world is called Olam He'elam? Because life is confusing. And what is the most confusing part of life? Not knowing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. It's amazing, right? We often think it'd be wonderful if you were born with a post-it note on your forehead saying you have to accomplish A, B, C, and D. But the truth is that'd be anticlimactic to the human experience. The whole yisod of life is the struggle to figure out Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'om Imach. But that, again, this struggle is built into the very fabric of life. The world is halom. It's not clear. It's obscured. It's not immediately understandable or even observable or knowable as to what my tachlis is. I have to struggle throughout a lifetime to try to figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from me? He says, V'lo yelo derech berura keitzat ovdim es habarech yisbarach shmo, because life is filled with confusion and ambiguity. And very often you go through life and even when you try and you try and you try, I still don't know what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants.
That's the natural state.
That's the natural state. You see, I'll tell you what I'll say. There's another important yisod, which is, and we'll get to this more in the Sefer, which is the natural state of man is struggle. It's Adam La'amal Yulad, which of course, you know, is very countercultural, because we live in a society, and we're part of that society, where our goal is to make everything easier. Right? Our goal is to eliminate struggle to as great of a degree as possible. As little amelos as possible. You know, I'll tell you, somebody was telling me that they were downloading my Daf Yomi Shir, and I said, Rabbi, you're not going to believe it. I found out that if I listen to you at 1.5 times speed, your shir actually fits into my elliptical workout. It's got to work out longer. So, you know, I wasn't exactly sure. So I was happy. Baruch Hashem, listen, somebody's learning. It's wonderful. But I said, that's kind of the approach we have in life, that how do I make it easier? So God forbid, and we have a pretty, as far as Daf Yomi Shurim go, we're on the shorter side. We're on the 45 minutes, where a lot of Gemara is pretty good. But, you know, it's interesting, but it's got to fit into something else. And it's very important to break free of that model, because if a person thinks that life is all about making it easier, and life is all about relaxing, and life is all about, you know, removing the stress and the struggle, a person is going to be very disappointed in life, because then when a person runs into difficulties and challenges, they think they're doing something wrong. When at the end of the day, if you run into difficulties and challenges, I mean, sometimes it might mean you're doing something wrong, but more often than not, it just means that you're living life. There's no such thing as life without struggle. And people who try to find a life without struggle are very frustrated, because this comes up and that comes up and this comes up. You know, I'll stop with the mashallah and we'll do this. So his whole idea over here is that, as Jordan is saying, that struggle, it's halam. That's the human condition. The Ribono Shel Olam could have given us a post-it note telling us everything we're supposed to accomplish, but by design, he kept it ambiguous and obscured so that we have to struggle to figure out what it is I'm doing here. Kilomar, bevadai sha'adam yodea, shetzarach lekayim es tariyag es tariyag mitzvah. So a person certainly has to, yes, we're not disagreeing, a person has to keep tariyag mitzvahs. Ulam, listen to this line, we'll say, Ulam, avodas Hashem, hi einena rak, Kiyum shel mitzvos nifzoros kol pamashim es damim l'adam. I will say, successful Judaism is not just keeping the mitzvos. There has to be more. And again, this is one of the greatest things that we struggle with our Yiddishkeit, because I think many of us maybe grew up with a mindset that sometimes it's just all about getting the job done. Tefillin check, tzedakah check, chesed check, Shabbos check. And we wake up one day and we ask ourselves, like, why am I doing, like, okay, I'm not leaving it, I'm not shirking it, I'm not throwing it away, but there's got to be more. And he says, yes. A successful Judaic life is not just about doing mitzvos. Ela atariag mitzvos, tzorech sha'adam yikaimam bitzura shel binyon. Rather, when a person does the mitzvos, a person has to do the mitzvos. What does bitzura shel binyon mean? How would you understand that? Bitzura shel binyon?
Building.
So meaning, the idea is, the mitzvos are not an end. They're a means to building myself. Shamitzvos yivnu es ha'adam karoi. So, you know, again, so why do I have to care about shatness? Because somehow by being, shatness is not an end, but somehow if I'm careful with shatness, that contributes to the totality of the binyan ha'adam. Somehow that helps to build me as a person. Ulekach tzarech derech birura keitzad kiyum ha'mitzvos na'aseh b'tzur shalbiyan. So, listen to this. Therefore, if you use this logic, that mitzvos are not an end, mitzvos are a means, mitzvos are the way that we build ourselves, then it's not just enough to know how to perform mitzvahs. What else do you need to know? You need to know how a particular mitzvah contributes to your personal binyan. If I, and also, isn't this the greatest struggle? I mean, no one has to answer. Anything that's said in this year stays in this year. But I'll tell you,
Aren't you recording?
I am recording. I just realized that. That's true. That is a good point. Okay, and it stays with the people who get the recording. We'll keep it. But the idea is, this is one of the greatest struggles, that we want to maintain an allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the truth is, there is that voice in the back of our head that sometimes says, like, why? Why? Like, is this really necessary? What does this accomplish? And that's because sometimes what we do is we get totally subsumed in the and consumed by the details and the behavioral aspects of mitzvot, which are very important, but we never really figure out how exactly these particular mitzvot contribute towards my binyan, towards building me as a person. So we have to accept certain truths. Truth number one is that mitzvot are not an end, they're a means. Truth number two is that every single mitzvah in its own way contributes to binyan ha'adam, building of the individual. And truth number three is that we have to strive to figure out what each and every mitzvah does in fact contribute towards the binyan. He goes on, mahu harashis shel binyan. What's the beginning of the building? Like, where should I start building from? Ma hemshech, what's the second stage? Page Vav. So I'm assuming you have the same numbering. Yeah, page Vav. Mahatachlis shel kol kiyum ha-mitzvos. What is the purpose of every single mitzvah? Kilomar al ha'odam levarer ketzad kiyum ha-mitzvos bone es nafshom. Rabosai, it is not just enough to observe. A person has to understand how every single mitzvah helps to build my nefesh. The ketzad ha-mahalich shel kiyum ha-dvarim. And the progression, Rabosai, is another piece also. You know, sometimes also, it's, you know, no one could be perfect in everything. Life is all about growth, and life is all about once, you know, I guess I'm not proficient in building per se, but I would imagine that when you're building a physical structure, it's the same thing, right? You don't build everything at once. You have to decide what you're going to start with, phase one and phase two and phase three, and you do a needs assessment, right? What's most important, what's less important, what do I have a budget for now, what do I have a budget for later? So it's no different when building yourself. I have to figure out where, and my building is going to be different than your building, because we're different people, so I have to figure out where do I need to start building, and once I identify where I need to start building, then what? Then I could figure out which mitzvos I really need to focus on in order to be able to help me in building that area. It's such a different way of looking at mitzvos. Ma'u areshes, ma'u hemshech, ma'u tachlis. I have to figure out, where do I begin? How do I continue? And what's the purpose? So also remember, we can never lose sight of the most important thing, which is, what's my goal? What's my goal? Meaning, what am I working towards? Because without a goal, and this is the greatest challenge in life, often we observe, but we don't necessarily have like a great spiritual goal. You know, after 120, who do I want to be? What's the kind of person I want to be? That needs to be part of the original plan as well. Hatayak mitzos nitnu la'adam. 613 mitzvos are given to man. Ulam al ha'adam levarer lo. Eza mitzvah yesh lahaschil ba. So Bosai, again, we don't have the ability to pick and choose. We have to keep all tarayag mitzvos, but I do have to figure out where I should start. The whole point of this limud is we're going to have an opportunity to figure out how to really build ourselves. But like with any building project, you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. We have to identify. And again, we're going to speak obviously in generalities, but then I think probably our personal avoda between shiurim is to try to figure out how to take these concepts and then apply them to our personal lives, which are going to be dramatically different. Ukimuvan shiyesh mitzvos shel kol yom v'yesh zmanim shepashut seder kiyumon v'lo bazeh askinan. All right, so he said, obviously, in the mitzvos themselves, there are different gradations. There are different mitzvos you do every single day. There are mitzvos that occur at certain intervals. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Dveikos Hashem, Love Yaakovish Baruch Hu. You know, Yira, how do we normally translate Yira?
Fear.
So I'll tell you, it's interesting that Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev, you'll see I'm going to quote him often, but Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev brings in, he says, Yira can't mean fear. Herein lies one of the greatest distinctions between Chassidus and, or I should say Chassidim and Misnagdim, how they relate to that one word of Yira. Meaning, so classically we define it as fear. So the Rebbe says, saying, if he quotes the Zohar, who says, Yira can't mean fear. Why? Because fear is an emotion that separates things. Meaning, so if I'm fearful of fire, by definition, what that means is I'm not going to get too close. I don't want to get burned. So it can't be that I'm supposed to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that would mean then that what? That I'm supposed to remain at a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that can't be, because I have an obligation of Dveikus. And remember again, Dveikus, what does Dveikus mean?
But
more than just closeness, clinging. Remember again, the Torah uses the word davak, dveikos, in two contexts in Kol Torah Kula. Number one, by marriage. Al ken yazov ishes ove v'imo v'davak b'ishto, and v'davakta b'Hashem alokecha. It's not an accident. So meaning, just like davak by marriage means an intimate connection, that it's not just, I could have many friends, but there's only one person that I share that intimate connection with, that's the Vegas. So that same level of the same level of intimacy that one experiences in a marriage, obviously in a different way, in a spiritual way, I experience that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it can't be that Yira means fear. Rather, the Rebbe says Yira means awe. It means awe. I have awe and reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have reverence for something, I want to come close. Bless you. I want to come close. But at the same time, that thing is up on a pedestal. I know it's not like me. I can't put my arm around it and say, you know, Shalom Aleichem to it. I have to treat it with a certain amount of reverence and respect. Okay. Yiras Hashem, Dveikos Hashem, Mitzos Rabos, Vitzarech La'asos Seder B'dvarim. So again, I will say, so I have to identify what's the proper Seder for me in my spiritual development. But what's the problem? So now again, if we were to do an exercise and we were to begin to sit down and try to figure out where we should start, what's going to happen? Inevitably, what's going to happen to all of us? What's going to happen? We're going to be confused. Right? Good. Meaning, it's not clear. If we were to sit down, take out a piece of pen and paper, each of us individually, and say, okay, let me list the things I have to work on. Okay, where should I start? What should I do? And how do I know that the things that I'm supposed to work on are the things that I'm really supposed to work on? How do I know the things that are important to me are really? So this is all part of the He'elam. So on one hand, I know that I have to build myself. I know that I know that I have to have a life goal. I know that in order to actualize that goal, I have to build myself. I know that in order to build myself, I need to do mitzvahs. But I know that I also have to figure out which mitzvah corresponds to which area of life building. And then I have to focus on those mitzvahs that will help build me in that particular area. Obviously, as a first step. There'll be progressive steps after that. But where do I start? How do I start? Which mitzvahs should I focus on? Which mitzvahs correspond to which areas of binyan? Hello. It's confusing. I'm not exactly sure what to do. Let's look at section B.
You see, how does this differ on that
section? It's not. This is just, I think it's just, here's what I think. I could be wrong. I think we all use those words of cheshbon ha'nefesh, but most of us don't actually know how to conduct a cheshbon ha'nefesh. How do you do a cheshbon ha'nefesh? So normally we think about cheshbon ha'nefesh as like, what averus did I do today? And how could I avoid repeating them again? So I would agree, he's giving you the roadmap for cheshbon ha'nefesh.
This is the outline?
This is more than the outline. This is the actual, this is the plan. This is how you do, this is like the instruction manual for cheshbon ha'nefesh. Absolutely. Let's look at section B's. Reishis Kol. From the beginning, before we get into this, and also you'll see also, I want to give you a little bit of this. This is not like a chick-chock sefer. This is the other piece to it also. Meaning, the Mechaber really like elaborates on themes. And even when it seems sometimes like he's being repetitive, he's not being repetitive. You know, there's a fine line between reinforcing, Rabbis know this. Reinforcing and being repetitive. Right? So I'm just pointing out, just stylistically, there might be times where you feel like, okay, like we heard that already, but just understand that sometimes the repetition is by design. Because the whole chop of this, and especially this is important for us also, because, you know, Mirat Hashem will meet once we got something mayor. The truth is, a sefer like this, it's good to learn every single day. That's the real truth. But, you know, especially, we have a week in between shiurim, so the reinforcing is good. So let's look at the section base. Reish is called, if Nesha Nigash Leber HaDvarim, before we get into the clarification of these items, Tzorah Sheyihya Ratzon Amiti Levaris HaDvarim. We'll say this is another important yisod. So before we begin to get into how to clarify how I build myself and which mitzvos, we have to start somewhere else. Is there a desire to really clarify things? What does that mean? Tzorech Lehistakel Alachayim B'tzur Nechona. I have to be willing to look at my life in the right perspective. Lahavin ma ma'amadenu kan ba'olam. I have to look at what my standing is in this world. Shakol chayinu einom ela kedei la'avod oso yisparach shemo. He's advancing over here a very important yisod. That one of the other reasons, that, and this is sometimes a little bit difficult to admit to ourselves, but one of the other reasons why sometimes we don't move forward in life, and sometimes we find ourselves dealing with the same issues over and over and over, is because deep down, we don't really have a ratzon to resolve it. We don't really have a desire to actually, now why? So why wouldn't a person have a desire to make themselves better or to fix things in life? Why not? I'm sorry? Shalom Afshi, good. Why else?
Lazy.
Laziness.
Path of least resistance.
Path of least, because the truth is, Klal Gadol is most people, 99% of humanity, is change averse. People don't like change. And they don't like change even when what? Even if I know intellectually that change is good for me, and that change will benefit me. The greatest example of this is our ancestors who came out of Mitzrayim, right? It's always amazing that every single turn, every single thing that goes wrong, what do they always say? Right? Nit narosh v'nashu Mitzrayim. Let's go back. And you want to tell yourself, like, how could anyone even say that? The Egyptians, they threw our babies into the Nile, right? They put the children, they pressed them into bricks for building. Wouldn't you just rather die in the desert? Wouldn't you just literally drop dead in the desert than go back to that type of barbaric abuse? But the answer is, what they're really saying is that, you know what, as bad as Egypt is, I know what to expect. And sometimes knowing what to expect and not have to worry about change, at least it's predictable. And I will say, lest you think that this is my sin b'chol yom, that most people just settle for mediocrity, even though they know it's mediocrity, but because it's the path of least resistance, it's what I know, and it doesn't require me to change. So the Mechaber says, you know, I'm going to tell you a lot of ideas, but my ideas are not going to make one iota of a difference if I don't have a desire to get greater life clarity. Meaning, if I just want to learn some nice ideas, that's fine. But if I don't have a desire to get greater life clarity, you could learn the most wonderful svarim, the most beautiful, the breathtaking ideas, not going to get you anywhere. Let's just finish this section and we'll stop for this evening. He says, a person has to look at their life through the right lens. What we are trying to do over here is we are trying to really clarify the entire framework of life. This is what we said before. So first of all, if you want to have greater clarity in life, you have to accept certain truths. Truth number one is that the only place where you're going to have true menucha, constant pleasure and enjoyment, is Olam Haba. Is Gan Eden. V'kan, kol tach lisinu hu la'avod oso yisparach shemo. Here, our entire tachlis, is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'aleinu levarer mahi haderech hamutzekes, Sheba'anu nidroch la'avod oso yisparach shemo. What the Mechaber is saying over here is, look, the other piece, so first you have to want greater clarity in life. That's number one. Number two, you have to accept the fact that the job here is not to be on vacation. the job here, a vacation is good. It's certainly, everybody needs vacation to recharge, but that's not the tachlis achayim. The tachlis achayim is not to relax. The tachlis achayim is not to take it easy. The tachlis achayim is not to go ahead and take more work off your plate, just the opposite. The tachlis achayim is to work. It's Adam la'amol yulad. And the whole point over here is to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. Hadram shanu oskin b'hem kan. These matters that we are involved with over here, hem einam ra'ayonos. Rabbosai, we're not talking about pie-in-the-sky ideas. Ela derech chayim pshuto kimashmo. Rather, what we are focusing on is how to live. Tzura keitzad lachios chayim amitim ali adamos. We're going to try to figure out how to lead a meaningful life while in this. Rabbosai, the other great part about this sefer is really, it was written for people like us who live in two worlds, meaning that you know, maybe once upon a time we had the privilege to spend our days bin kosle beis hamedrash. We had, but the truth is now we don't, and we have to live in the outside world and in the ruchni world. And he's recognizing that reality. That's why, again, this the focus over here is not how to run away from the outside world. The focus over here is how to integrate all the different parts of your life and use them somehow to figure out what your tachlis is. Chayim shemevim es ha'adam lidei ha'tachlis ha'ratzuya nishtanda levar es ha'dvarim min ha'kal el ha'kaved. We're going to try to analyze and to clarify things from the simplest to the most complex, shlav al gabe shlav, one level after the next. Sheyihye sulam barur kichol shenitan. We're going to make this like a ladder. It's going to be a step progression. Shenira lenegen einenu olam barur. The goal is to create for ourselves a clear understanding of the world. Keitzat haderech hamiyusades la'avod osoyis baruch shemo. To try to come out with a clear and concrete way ultimately to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll stop over here, but just in summary, so what we come out with tonight is just a couple of very important yisodos. First of all, a person has to ask themselves the question, what's my tachlis? What's my avoda? And we'll see, we'll say, by the way, the other piece is, there might not be one answer to that. There could be multiple answers to that over the course of life, and it could be that I begin by asking myself, what's the tachlis for this week? What do I want to do? You know, I'm sure, I don't know how if anyone else has this. For me, sometimes one of the most frustrating parts of the week is Friday. Because what happens on Friday? So on Sunday, you had all of these great plans for what you were going to accomplish over the week, right? I was going to do this, and I was going to do that, and I was going to accomplish this. And then what ends up happening? So Friday comes, and you mamish, I always say, like, it's always good to make a to-do list for yourself. If you finish your to-do list every single week, then you are not ambitious enough. It means that you're taking it too easy on yourself. You're never supposed to accomplish your to-do list because you're supposed to always push yourself just a little bit beyond your reach. So the idea is, step number one is, what's my tachlis? What am I doing here? That's the overarching question which we're going to try to figure out. Step number two is that the goal is, I have to build myself as an individual. It's not just enough to do mitzvos. I have to build a persona. I have to build this thing called myself. How do I do that? I do that with mitzvos. Each and every mitzvah somehow contributes in some way, shape, or form to building a certain aspect of my persona. I have to identify, again, the parts of myself that I have to build, and I have to identify the parts of the mitzvos that will help me go ahead and build those particular parts. It doesn't happen in a day. It's a progression. It's a lifetime of avoda, which then leads to the last point, two last points, which is number one, if this is going to happen, we have to really want it. Because if you just want to learn it, but you don't, you're not really committed to making the changes to make it happen, person's not going to get anywhere. And number two, person has to accept the reality that life is all about the toil. Life is all about the labor. Don't be effort averse. Because those who are looking for, again, the quick fix, they'll never ultimately figure out what that tachlis achayim is. But if we're willing to put in the work, ultimately, again, the answers will become clear. All right, we'll stop over here.